Jhené Angola Jr., the podcast.
That was the energy that sent us into the weekend, a big weekend in sports, NFL, MLB. Come here for all the news, all the breakdowns, especially hair news. More on my side, more than yours, Junior. Jhené Angola Jr. on ESPN Radio, ESPN app. Jhené Ogumike. Finally, I got some love from Cliff.
The hell?
Wait. No. Shots fired. I got the keys. I'm so sorry. Recover while I get these reads off. Jhené Ogumike, Mike Golic Jr. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us via the Shell Penzoil Performance Line. Now, in about 10 minutes, we will preview Monday Night Football between the Bears and the Rams. Two solid teams kind of flying under the radar with a huge opportunity. Now, Junior, you know, talking about the NFL, and are you good with the hair? Like, are you okay? Did you recover?
Yeah, no, I've recovered since then. I'm pretty secure in my, you know. Shout out to my follically challenged brothers, by the way, out here going and getting it done. Tyler Lockett, big ball in the other night. My man's hairline's hurting a little bit.
Mookie Betts
in the World Series, both riding around and getting it. So you can lose your hair prematurely and still go on. At Kings, it just means the crown fits easier. Continue to go off.
Oh, man, that's so funny, and I hate that I always end up spilling my own tea. I got to the point, like, about a year or so ago, I was like, why are all the guys I'm talking to, like, they don't have hair? I'm like, I must be getting older. But, hey, still talking to them, though. Now, as I was saying, you know, we're talking about the NFL. You know, Junior, I want to stay in the professional ranks. But first, I know we had a big weekend in college football because we had the return of the Big Ten. Ohio State, I believe, put up 52 on Nebraska. So how are you feeling with them emerging into the fold?
I feel, Jhené, like this weekend I tried to drink water through a fire hose when the Big Ten came back, because we've talked about so many things up in the air in college football, and I feel like all of them happened at once. A perfect microcosm of this season. It's a perfect spot to get into something we do around here called One and Done. Get up on the pulpit and talk, because you mentioned some important things happen in the college and the pro game this weekend we got to dive into.
So much to say.
Are you good? Like, do you need a minute to breathe? Do you need some water?
So little time.
I'm trying to balance a lot right now.
One and done.
Jhené, you mentioned Big Ten football returned to everyone's TV screens this weekend, and it gave us not a little bit of everything, a lot of bit of everything. Ohio State came back and took Nebraska out behind the woodshed, looked every bit like the team we expected them to be, a contender in the college football playoff. We had a major league upset. Indiana, the Hoosiers, taking down Penn State in a primetime matchup, going out, extending a controversial end-of-game play that ends in one of the first big upsets of the college football season in the Big Ten. A game between Michigan State and Rutgers that Rutgers win because Greg Schiano says, who says you can't go home, and combine for 10 turnovers in that game. And then all the while, Jhené, I think the biggest story in all of this is two of the most high-profile games of the weekend already affected by COVID-19. You had Minnesota and Michigan, the primetime game that Michigan went out there and won. A lot of people hopeful for them. But on the other side, we heard minutes before the game, Minnesota was going to be without two of their starting offensive linemen, a host of specialists, a pair of defensive players, all for reasons that we don't know of and weren't given, but you can read between the lines, I'm sure, on a fair amount of this. And now news out of Wisconsin, who played on Friday night, going into that and looked great, albeit against an Illini team people don't expect much out of. But Graham Mertz, their star quarterback, started off 17 of 17, looked great. And people in Wisconsin thought, man, if we have a dynamic offense now, we might be able to do something, only to find out that Wisconsin quarterback Graham Mertz has now supposedly tested positive for COVID-19 over the weekend. They're waiting for another test. But it's a reminder, Jhené, that anyone makes a claim about college football right now can be right, because there's enough going on. That doesn't mean there aren't still problems, and that one in particular, what Graham Mertz and Wisconsin are potentially getting ready to deal with, because remember them coming back, shorter timeline, 21 days you have to sit out if you test positive for COVID, all remain as the challenges this football season has to face, and they didn't get any easier or any better just because the Big Ten logo was back on our screens this weekend.
That was a great all-around perspective on all of that. Well done, sir.
It was a lot to get in all at once, so we'll try and make it a little easier for everyone going forward as we wrap around our arms on all of these sports. But, Jhené, I know we had a big injury this weekend in the NFL that certainly struck a chord with you.
Yeah, you guys know that the reason why I'm sitting here, a job I love, is largely because of adversity. Like, I am lucky to do this radio show. I'm fortunate to do this show with you, Junior, and also still compete at the highest level when it comes to basketball as well. Now, I have a very special place in my heart for those athletes that know the battle we sign up for when it comes to being unlucky in sports, which is injuries. Now, this week, we watched Odell Beckham Jr. do the most team-oriented thing that you can do. He was missed on a play, but did not give up on it. Instead, OBJ put his body on the line to make a tackle, to avoid a touchdown after his teammate's mistake. And now we have just heard today that on that play, he tore his ACL. Now you see, OBJ already knows what the journey ahead looks like. This is a man that has fractured his ankle and played an entire season with a hernia last year. While we are all talking about the impact of his absence now for the Browns moving forward, I hope we keep that same energy when it comes to his football character based on that play, the sacrifice that he made that had a huge consequence. And one thing that I know personally is that science is erring these days on the side of the athlete. And situations like this only build character, character that was revealed on that play and that should remain a central focus.
And I think that's worth noting because so many people, Chinee, with Odell Beckham Jr., bring up ideas of him being a diva, the kicking net in New York, all these things as a distraction. But on this play in particular, people will remember the ACL being torn. They should do even more to remember how he went about getting to that point, trying to do something in the name of a team and winning.
And you don't even think about those type of things, right? Like OBJ, it's just like that moment, the switch flipped. And we saw it work in a case where DK Metcalf switch flipped and bam, did exactly what that instinct was. It just stunk that on OBJ's turn, you know, he did get injured. But again, this is what we sign up for. And, you know, these type of things, for Baker to understand like how tough that was to see that go down and to have the mental fortitude to keep going, like I feel like it is a reflection of how these guys, even though we talk about it in so many different ways, do care about each other, and it's shown in different ways.
It's the DK Metcalf comparison is one I actually hadn't made until just now, but you're right. The effort plays that we laud with different outcomes in this just because of the timing of DK's and what it ended up meaning, whereas for Odell, who's kind of in a different situation with his entire team, and why don't we stick kind of with Odell in this because the situation with him and the Browns has become really strange. Forget the last couple of years and the last, you know, couple of months now in this NFL season, Chinee. It's weird to me because we so often think of star players as immune to the things around a team that can happen to them. Fit and all the things that, for me, I was a marginal player coming up. You know, I was above average college player, tried to make it to the next level, knowing you're going to need the right fit and you're going to need to break to go your way. And I think people make this misconception all the time, and you can speak to this from the other end. You're a number one pick. You're a star player, a two-time All-Star, of people looking at people like yourself, Odell Beckham Jr., and saying, well, you can thrive anywhere. You don't need anyone to be successful.
That's not the case. Talent doesn't cure all. You have to have chemistry. You have to have belief, and you have to have buy-in. And it's tough to see Odell not be able to have that, you know, see the benefits of the work he's done, especially when it came to recovering from injuries. Because, again, last year he played with, I believe, like a sports hernia. Like, I didn't even fully internalize that until I started thinking about what has happened to him along the way. So yeah, chemistry is key because you can be super talented, but if you don't have the people around you to lift you up, it goes wasted.
It does go wasted. And even looking in this situation, sometimes even your fit within an organization that went through as much change as the Browns, and over the last 2 years, the Browns have absorbed as much change as probably any organization in football, and they've got to get their quarterback right. Like, where you fall on the priority list is also an interesting thing, because we hear all the time, Odell needs touches, Jarvis needs touches, you've got all these mouths to feed in this offense. They're worried about getting their quarterback right. Like, where Cleveland sits as a franchise, their hierarchy of needs says, we have to make sure this guy we invested a number one pick in at a position we failed in over and over again is catered to and taken care of far more. And it's not a personality thing, because I've heard people say, well, Odell feels like he's got to be the man in the huddle. It's less that and more schematically, maybe what Odell does best or needs to be at his best in what Baker needs to be his best on the other side. And right now, Baker is going to be the priority and remain that for Cleveland until further notice.
Yeah, I know a lot of people are probably putting out there, like, potentially, oh, Baker, you know, is better without Odell out there, just because, you know, when you have those talented people out there, you just feel like, oh, man, I got to make sure. Instead, now taking that off, like people are saying, oh, he's been better in other scenarios. I think we will see that happen the weeks forward, see if that's actually real or not. Because when you remove someone such as so talented as Odell Beckham Jr., that is the reason why a lot of other people were open as well.
Yeah, it can be weird to say, and them being better with Odell off the field can be less about Odell not being good and just more about where this team is at currently, gelling as an offense with Kevin Stefanski calling plays. And what remains going forward? This could be, we talked about it with the Patriots, a mutual breakup type situation where the Browns and Odell look at this and say, we all might be best if we're apart in this.
Yeah, I feel like the Browns are focusing on themselves. Unfortunately, injuries take you out of that equation, and Odell will be in a situation, in a mindset, where he's absolutely going to have to focus on himself, which could actually accelerate these type of conversations.
God, the relationship tropes never fail in the world of sports.
Right?
I really just need to take some time to work on myself right now. I bought this new book. I've got some candles. I really think it's got a potential of working with the next guy. Just unfortunately not you, Cleveland / Odell. But coming up next, we got to figure out why it is working so well in Chicago right now. The Windy City getting ready to square off against the Los Angeles Rams tonight on Monday Night Football. Why they can manage to keep up their hot start. That's next. It's Chenan Gold Jr. on ESPN Radio.
Chenan and Golic Jr., the podcast.
I love that. Lewis Riddick, they're going to give you fits. Chenan Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app. Chenan Ogwumike, Mike Golic Jr. Now, in a little bit, we will chat with our own ESPN NFL analyst who will tell us who she thinks is the best team in the NFC. But now let's stay there, because tonight we have, I guess, two underrated teams in that conference. Time to get you set for Monday Night Football between the Bears and the Rams. Monday Night Football kickoff is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Now, I think we've looked past these two teams, but they have an opportunity for, like, the Bears to actually show that they're legit. Like, they're not just, it's not a blip. You know, it could be a trend. But also the Rams to say, hey, we are contenders, Sue Jr.
Yeah, the Rams are in an interesting spot because we've seen them get to the big stage. We're not that far removed from the Super Bowl appearance for them. And Sean McVay and this offense seem to be picking back up a lot this year. They had to make a big adjustment personnel-wise last year and deal with a lot of injuries up front that aren't there this year. So they've got more stability. But, Chenan, I am still flat-out confused by the Bears. I understand this is one of the best defenses in football when you've got guys like Akeem Hicks and Khalil Mack on that defensive front. I'm not shocked by that portion, but every time I watch this offense that made a quarterback switch in the early portion of the seasons within the first six games from Mitch Trubisky to Nick Foles, I watch this offense like we always like say and like default to like a nickel and dime offense. This is like a nickel and dime. It's like nickels and pennies down the field that somehow matriculate into the end zone. So I
pun intended.
Fully intended. I truly don't know how the Bears have gotten to this point. More Nick Foles magic. I guess Chenan, he's one of those guys that only knows how to come off of the bench, be inserted after the start of the season, and somehow fully turn into his final form.
I mean, maybe it's more so if you look at the season, and granted that the first game with Trubisky was versus the Lions, which they won, which could have been different based on a drop by the young rookie, beat the Giants, beat the Falcons. I don't know if that tells you much. Lost to the Colts, competitive. Beat the Bucks, and that was the Nick Foles Tom Brady game, where wasn't it four? Held up four?
Oh, yeah.
And then beat the Panthers. So I think if you look at the slate, there's not necessarily a huge win, but hey, to win in 2020 consistently to me is an impressive, and they'll have an opportunity versus the Rams to at least add someone, a quality contender, to their resume. But like when you talk about the Rams, I think this is where we expected them kind of to be. But I am looking forward to see whether the Bears can compete and actually change a lot of people's minds, because if you look at the schedule, it tells you not too much. But this game will.
Yeah, I think this Rams offense has reinserted itself. Sean McVay is kind of reminding a lot of people with his play calling this year. He's better than you at what he does. Like, he is an exceptional offensive mind, and people kind of fell asleep on that as their offensive line crumbled. I think the Rams are going to get this win tonight. I think over the next three games, when you look at Los Angeles against the Rams tonight for the Bears, at home versus the Saints, on the road against the Titans. That's a very, like, truth serum three-game stretch in the middle of the season. I don't think the Bears are a five. Let's put it this way. You are what your record says you are. The Bears are a 5-1 football team. Do I think the Bears are higher in the rankings than the Green Bay Packers and a better team overall? No, I don't. I understand they have a win over the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and they deserve that. But on a short week in 2020 with some of the early season injury issues that they dealt with in Tampa Bay, I can look at this and say the talent gap, like you said, talent gap in the NFL is pro sports. It's not college. Like, no one's 30, 40 points better than anybody else on any given day. But I think over the next three games, we're going to learn a lot more about the Bears, and I have a feeling they err more towards an above-average football team than one that's going to be leading a division and in line to make noise in the postseason.
And speaking of the last team you mentioned, do you think that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are the best team right now in the NFC?
I think so. I think when you look at it right now, because I look at the other options and I say, what am I going to go with here? They've got a resounding win. We talk about, again, common opponent, and everything I just said still holds true for the Chicago Bears in that. But that versus what Tampa Bay did to Green Bay in a game where everyone came into this and said, all right, we're expecting a good-on-good matchup early on. It looked like it was going to be that. And that Tampa Bay defense showed everyone in a major way what they're about that season. Todd Bowles and company showed everyone what they're about that season. They've adjusted. They've absorbed losses of their own and found a way to continue to be successful. So, yeah, I think they are. I think they're certainly near the top of the equation in this. I think Green Bay, despite that loss, isn't far behind them in all of this. A team that can certainly muster up pass rush with the Smith brothers when things come up and when things really get into the thick of it. They've got some guys really developing on that back end, like Jair Alexander, and they've got Aaron Rodgers. Where it gets interesting today is the Seattle team we saw last night. Because we saw them lose to an Arizona team that I think is on the way up. I think Kyler Murray in his second year is making that second-year leap we expect out of young quarterbacks that were number one overall picks like him. Getting DeAndre Hopkins gift-wrapped to you by Bill O'Brien certainly helps that maturation process. But I look at the Seahawks and say, I think overall the Seahawks are a better team than the Arizona Cardinals over the course of a long season, but their glaring lack of a pass rush I think is starting to become problematic. And if you can affect a team like the Cardinals, whose line's still developing, I have a feeling you're going to be in a little more trouble in the long haul unless they make a move during the season here to try and get someone, acquire some help at that spot.
Yeah, I'd have to agree, because if you want to separate anyone in the NFC away from each other, it's probably the defense, right? Because you talked about Seattle and their pass rush. Seahawks defense failed to sack or even knock down Kyler Murray as a passer once, you know, across 48 drawbacks. And then, like, you look at the teams that are top in their divisions, Tampa Bay 5-2, the Saints 4-2, Seahawks obviously 5-1, but I think we have questions on the defense there. Questions, you know, with the Saints overall, even though they're still winning, which is great. The Cardinals questions, even though, like, they're leading with their offense. So if you're looking at a team that can beat you both ways, whether it's defensively or offensively, plus their upside offensively, plus you've got Tom Brady, I mean, it just seems like Tampa Bay is sitting pretty right now.
Well, and I think Tampa Bay is starting to find that middle ground that we always looked for, Janae, because we talked about the things Bruce Arians likes to do versus the things that Tom Brady has traditionally liked to do. And I think we're starting to see those two worlds merge a little bit. Now, I don't think any of their backs are adept enough pass catchers to mimic what they did in New England, but Rob Gronkowski looking more like himself. I know he said he's down there to do his job and block, but we've seen the pass-catching version of him start to show up in these last few games for them. We've seen those receiving threats start to multiply. We know Antonio Brown's coming to town. So when you combine all of that, it's starting to look like the meld of those offenses. And on the other side, Todd Bowles is just getting himself ready for that next head coaching opportunity the way he's operated that defense.
Facts. Like, when you have Mike Evans out there, Chris Godwin, and then Scotty Miller leading you in yards, plus you add in AB, like, nine different players getting catching passes from Tom, like, things are going pretty well out in Tampa.
Yeah, the Scotty Miller factor. And they said, and Chris Godwin made this point after the game, we know a lot of this is happening is because so much attention is paid to Mike Evans, who may not have the gaudy stats right now, but we know that monster is still lurking in the wings. But what do we make of the Seahawks outfit? How far do we think they can go? And what moves should they make, if any, as we get closer and closer towards the midpoint of this NFL season? We'll talk to one of our very best ESPN NFL analysts next. It's Janae Angola Jr. on ESPN Radio.
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Where's the beat? Oh, it's slow. Yeah. It takes a minute. It's all right. Chiney and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. So many signature plays happening between Kyler Murray's smile and DK Metcalf's chase down. Another play that had us scratching our heads. We'll talk about it. Actually, we probably will laugh about it in about 10 minutes. Yes, I'm talking about the Falcons. Sorry, I'm not sorry. But right now, I'm excited to head back to the Shell Pennzoil Performance Lines and hang now with Mina Kimes, our own ESPN NFL live host and analyst for us on the NFL. Now, before we talk Seahawks, Mina, I have another, Junior does this to me, I have another Junior thought, okay? A Junior point that I want to ask you. I know we first got you with cuffing season, but when is it really appropriate to put up Christmas decorations, and also when is it necessary to take them down?
After Thanksgiving is when you can put them up, and then I guess I would say January 15th is when they got to come down by.
Wow.
How's that?
That's a month early.
So I was gonna say, yeah, you got a whole Mina, you got a whole other month that the tree and lights can stay up. But Mina, you have the thing in here, and I was trying to explain this to Chiney, where you are out in Los Angeles. It's like warm and nice and sunny there, so you don't need the extra joy that the Christmas lights and stuff provide those of us on the East Coast.
Well, I should also say I left my tree up, I think, until about Valentine's Day, but that was out of sheer laziness. That was definitely my husband and I being like, so you're going to do this. No, you're going to do it. And then,
Junior, you're right on that. We called it.
I think that is accepted. That's welcomed around here. So, Mina, even though we may not agree philosophically, we get to the same place because of the same thing. Laziness always wins out. But Mina Kimes with us here on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. And Mina, just a general wellness check. How are you doing after surviving yet another round of the Seahawks in primetime doing the weirdest thing possible?
Well, when the Seahawks were up by 10 points with 3 minutes left, a scenario in which teams had pretty much always won, my heart was ready for the shenanigans. I'm so used to it. I'm so beaten down. I'm so accustomed to just losing hair and years off my life that I was waiting for it to happen. So as a result, I wasn't terribly distraught because I was already emotionally prepared for the wreckage that would inevitably ensue.
Yeah, no, I saw you tweet this. You are no longer capable of really feeling pain at this point as a Seahawks fan. So now that our wellness check as a friend is done, I do have to ask you as an analyst and someone who watches as much of the Seahawks as diligently as anybody, when we look going forward for this team, is pass rush the only glaring issue really here, or do the Seahawks have to address something else for them to try and contend in the levels we believe they're all capable of?
Pass rush and coverage, of course, go hand in hand. I will note that, Jamal Adams, their prized safety, who has been providing most of the pass rush, was out. And Shaquille Griffin, who's the best cornerback on the team, also missed a lot of the game with a concussion. So coverage is less of an issue. It starts and in the middle. It's pass rush. It'll be interesting to see if the Seahawks are a buyer. Ahead of the trade deadline, just got reported that the Cowboys might be shopping Everson Griffin. There's a couple names out there, Carlos Dunlap, potentially Ryan Kerrigan, that are getting thrown around. Their second-round draft pick, Daryl Taylor out of Tennessee, who is a pass rusher, has not played yet, so he'll be coming back online at some point. But you got to think they'll probably look outside for reinforcements as well.
Here with Mina Kimes, ESPN NFL analyst, here with us on Chiney and Golic Jr. on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Now, Mina, we've been trying to sort out this answer, all show today, and I think we've settled on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, but we want your verdict. Who is the best team right now in the NFC? I know the Seahawks are coming off of a loss. The Packers are still out there, that they bounce back really well. And of course, the Bucs are out there as well.
It's the Bucs. The Seahawks and the Packers I actually see as pretty similarly unbalanced teams. Both teams have defenses that are below average to my estimation, and both teams have very explosive offenses. Whereas Tampa Bay is just incredibly balanced. They have one of the three best defenses in the NFL, and then you saw a really vintage Brady performance this season. I see no reason why he won't keep that up, especially given the weapons and protection that he's getting. So at this point in the season, if I had to call it, I would say a Bucs-Chiefs Super Bowl seems like the most likely outcome.
It's certainly the way both of those teams are playing right now, but we know a lot can change on a dime, Mina, and no place maybe exemplifies that better than Tom Brady's former home in New England right now. What we saw from Cam this Sunday, is there anything left in that arm for him at this point, Mina?
You know, if the first 2 weeks of the season hadn't happened, I would say no, that this is Cam now. He's, you know, not capable of playing the quarterback position. But I think what's so perplexing is that he looked like a totally different quarterback at the beginning of the season. Watching him, everything just looks really slow. It's not just the, you know, the arm or the reluctance to throw certain directions, but his willingness to pull the trigger, his movement on his feet, everything seems off right now. I don't know if there's an injury that we don't know about. I don't know if it's the consequence of the time off. Of course, he had COVID. It's impossible to know. So I think we're going to find out pretty soon, you know, in the coming weeks, if this is just going to be it for the season. And if it is, I don't see this team being competitive.
Here with Mina Kimes, ESPN NFL analyst here on Chanae and Golic Jr. Now, before we let you go, it is Monday, and we have a big one tonight on Monday Night Football between the Bears and the Rams tonight. Monday Night Football preview is brought to you by Progressive Insurance, with insurance for cars, home, boat, motorcycles, RVs, and commercial vehicles at 1-800-PROGRESSIVE and progressive.com. Now, Mina, what are you looking forward to tonight?
Well, first of all, Chanae, you are slaying those reads. My God, you just got out like 300 words in like 30 seconds.
I have a good teacher here.
You are crushing it. Unreal. I am looking forward to watching the Rams offense against the Bears defense, because the Bears offense is not fun to watch. I'm sorry, it's not. But their defense is really good, and they have really strong fundamentals in addition to stars at every level. Of course, Khalil Mack versus Aaron Donald, kind of like the marquee, you know, players on either side. So I'm very interested in seeing whether this Rams rushing attack, which has been the best in the NFL, led by a coach, Sean McVay, who is known for making linebackers' lives miserable, whether they can specifically go after Roquan Smith and Danny Trevathan, who I believe has been kind of the weak area of this very good Bears defense. That's sort of the ballgame there for me. So when the Rams have the football, I'll be watching very keenly to see if they run a lot on early downs and have success doing though, because they have had that sort of success all season, and that's why they've been winning.
Follow her on Twitter, at Mina Kimes. Check her out as a part of NFL Live on ESPN every day at 4 o'clock Eastern, and also download the Mina Kimes Show featuring Lenny wherever you get your podcast. Mina, enjoy the game tonight. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Mina.
Bye, guys.
Our ESPN NFL analyst, Mina Kimes, joined us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Pennzoil synthetic motor oils are made from natural gas. Gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil, based on Sequence 4-year wear testing using SAE 5W30. Now, coming up next, Chanae, there is only one rule in sports that I know is ironclad. I've heard it from every coach I've had since I was a kid, and I'd imagine it's the same for you. I can tolerate mistakes, but making the same mistake twice is where you start to get in trouble. We'll show you how one NFL team managed to pull that off yet again next. It's Chanae and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio.
Chanae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
So I was just thinking about hair, because we talked about my hair throughout the course of the show today, Junior, and I decided that if our show was hair, we'd be a mullet. Business up top, party in the back. Chanae and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio now. Do you agree?
Oh, 100%. Mullet's a celebrated hairstyle in my world, because you're right. It is a combination of so many things. And, like, I just appreciate the confidence it takes, Chanae, to walk out into the light rocking a mullet, right? Like, you have to care so little about how everyone else thinks to go out and pull that off.
Have you ever rocked a mullet?
No, I've never rocked a mullet. I had the mohawk when I was in high school. We used to do that for the Thanksgiving football game that we would play. I did used to have long flowing locks. Shout out to my mugshot from back in the day. But no mullet in this, unfortunately.
Speaking of Thanksgiving, we have to thank our people who really came through for the holiday spirit. Mina Kimes, our own ESPN NFL analyst, who told us actually who agreed with us on the best team in the NFC, also said that Valentine's Day is the last day to have Christmas, you know, decorations up. And then we also have to thank Jun Lee, the ESPN writer who gave us his favorites to win the MVP of the World Series for both the Rays and the Dodgers. I have my fingers crossed on one side of it based on my city. As the series progresses to game six tomorrow on ESPN Radio. So you can catch all those conversations, those answers on Chinay and Golic Jr. on the podcast, which, by the way, I went and read one of the reviews. Some of y'all are wild out there. Yo, super wild. All positive, but super wild.
There are, and we listen, subscribe, rate, review, do all that stuff. Leave a 5-star rating. Some of them have been incredible, and every once in a while I will go down there and go down the rabbit hole and read a few of these. They're pretty good. Maybe we'll try and find a way to package them for you on air, because we appreciate all the kind things and the 5-star ratings, because it makes us seem important, and then our bosses look at that and we like that. And
absolutely. Here, so. I'm trying to read them, but why don't we keep that same energy until I find a good one?
Sounds good. We want to be a jolt of energy.
Yeah, the energy level was really high there.
And now we want to keep that same energy going.
Keeping that same energy.
Keep that same energy.
You could just sense that there was a tremendous amount of energy.
With Janae and Golic Jr.
And Janae, before we get to all the shenanigans, we do have to celebrate a major milestone over the course of this NFL season, because we know coming into this year, Ron Rivera had to shoulder a lot more than just being the head coach of the Washington football team. He was essentially tasked with revamping the image of a place that for so many reasons had gone astray. But Ron Rivera also was dealing with his own battle with cancer, and the Washington football team's Twitter account made us all aware earlier this morning. It's a very different kind of victory Monday. As Ron Rivera went through his last round of treatment for cancer, he got to go and ring the bell on the way out of the hospital. He was greeted by a hallway full of cheering folks, all with Rivera Strong t-shirts on, and was just a really touching moment, Janae, for a coach that's always been first class in this league, is dealing with this battle, and is on his way to beating it, and today was a major step in that.
Honestly, like, that just made me feel so good, because, you know, this is a team that has dealt with a lot, and he's shouldered a lot of responsibility, accountability for how they move forward while also fighting a battle himself. So, again, ring that bell.
Ring that bell indeed. So we're all certainly keeping Ron Rivera, keeping coach in our thoughts and prayers, an exemplary human being in the NFL, and one they desperately need. By the way, speaking of the Washington football team, their team president Jason Wright's going to join us on Thursday, getting ramped up and get ready to go for the weekend, as he is also a part of trying to change what's going on around that building and to do it for the better. Now, quickly, Chinay, have you managed to find any reviews, or have we given up on this process?
Buckle up.
Oh, boy.
I didn't know how I'd feel about Chinay and Golic Jr. I couldn't imagine my boyfriend in my head being paired with a black queen who isn't me. Spending so much time with her daily, sharing jokes and secrets, what was I to do if they were to share a romantic glance? Eat my feelings. That's what. But then I started listening to the podcast and tuned into the show and realized we can all be friends. They play off of each other so well and bring fresh, entertaining, and most importantly, young takes to the airwaves. I can only imagine the people who don't enjoy this are both miserable and ashy. I hope this duo keeps being amazing as much as I hope Golic Jr. calls me.
Oh my
God. Was that good?
That was fantastic.
Was that good? Okay.
Download, subscribe.
I got competition in these streets.
I also
feel I'm gonna have to fight somebody.
I also feel like you read that because you were called the Black Queen during that and wanted to highlight that portion of things.
I mean, maybe there's some side effects to that. Okay.
Listen, no one's mad at that in that situation.
But she called you her boyfriend.
She did, and she also
to
called,
my face.
She also called the enemies of our show and podcast ashy. So. The height of disrespect going on in this. Keep that same energy if you're going to review this podcast.
To Barry.
we appreciate that kind of energy around here. But we do have to wrap up. We have somehow gone this entire show, Janae, without talking about what went down both in Penn State and for the Atlanta Falcons.
Hit me.
And again, Janae, you know this. Situations in sports that come up. When the other team is allowing you to score, you are coached as a running back to get down. You're trying to bleed clock. And yet twice this weekend, we saw it happen to Penn State as they ended up going down to Indiana in their game. You made that mistake. But then you're the Falcons. You are perennial mistake makers and the team that finds a way to lose in wild and hilarious fashion. You see that happen in this field. And you know this. Coaches love to live for those little coaching points like that. and yet they get into a situation where the stoppable force meets the movable object in the Lions and the Falcons playing, and poor Todd Gurley finds himself in the same spot and realizes before it's too late and goes into the end zone, allowing the Falcons to lose in famous fashion that gives us great Arthur Blank memes. Janae, I don't even know what to do with them anymore.
I can make lemonade out of the lemons.
Oh, how so?
I had Todd Gurley on fantasy.
There you go. You know what?
But your girl still lost.
We can only do so much with what we've got, Janae.
Thank you.
And the fact that you can make any positive out of that situation is incredible. So we will try and make a positive out of that. We'll try and see what positives come out of Monday Night Football as the Bears take on the Los Angeles Rams. That's all coming up later. For now, Spain and Fitz coming up next on ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to Janae and Golic Jr. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, and wherever you stream your audio.